everyone, and welcome to episode number 51 of the Love of the Mouse podcast. As always, I'm your host, Matt Merlino, and joining me, typically, I guess, at this point, is my wonderful, smiling fiance,
I was trying to think of something, like, rude to interject with, and I just coming up with a blank there. This one's definitely going to be hard to follow up on your feed, considering what episode 50 was.
Yeah, episode 50 was pretty cool. got to talk with Brett Iwin. That was...
Yeah, that's casual.
Yeah, that was incredible. If you haven't listened to that episode, highly recommend going back after you finish
listening.
After you have finished listening to this one, highly recommend going back and hearing my conversation with Brett. You can also find that on our YouTube channel. That's our first official YouTube video. I did a full edit of that interview, and I love how our new vlog intro came out. I don't know if we'll ever use it for anything else. I don't know if I'm ever going to do another vlog.
You
know,
you put
vlog.
A lot of work into it. I wouldn't call it a vlog, also.
I mean, it's an online video. Would you call it a podcast?
It's not a blog. Anyway.
is a podcast.
Yeah, but it's different.
It's an interview, regardless.
Yeah, but you did put a lot of work into it, and it turned out awesome, so...
Thank you.
Be proud. Highly recommend checking that out.
Yeah, it was super, super cool. So if you haven't followed us on social media, you can find all of our previous episodes, anything, you know, casual 500 like tweets that get over 25,000 impressions. Like, that was pretty crazy in the past couple days. Never thought that would happen for me on Twitter, but that was pretty cool.
Yeah, of all things, too.
Yeah, I just said have fun if you're there for the 50th. I mean, tons of people love that.
I guess it's pretty... Was it just for the 50th? Is
yeah.
that what you said?
Yeah,
I didn't know
I
if you said
like,
anything about the show.
No, I said, I hope you have fun if you're celebrating the 50th of Magic Kingdom this week.
That's pretty lame, honestly. Stop liking that if you see the tweet.
Twitter did not think it was lame, so that was
pretty
cool.
Twitter's wrong. That's why I don't have Twitter.
yeah, you did delete your Twitter. So yeah, we are going to be talking about something near and dear to my heart.
I would say mine too.
Because as of today, September 29th, 2021, this is the final day for Happily Ever After.
When you think about it, it's kind of weird that it's a Wednesday that is the last day. Why'd they do that?
Well,
that makes no sense.
Well, they're starting Disney Enchantment on October 1st, the official 50th anniversary. So
I guess that makes
sense. I guess
they're
giving themselves one day.
I mean, I guess that makes sense.
To kind of prepare and test and...
Don't mind me, I'm just, you
work
know,
out the kinks,
being
but...
Being critical for no reason.
Yes, tonight will be the final showing of Happily Ever After at Magic Kingdom. And we've seen the show in person 4 times. And it's... Like I said, it's very near and dear to my heart, mm-hmm. so...
I mean, it's a staple for every trip we've ever been on.
Yeah, for the most part. For the most part, I think you're right. And we'll touch on that... a little bit more as we dive deeper into the episode. But before we do that, I want to make sure to remind everybody, I kind of mentioned it a little bit before, got sidetracked, as usual, but if you don't already do so, please make sure to follow us on our social media accounts. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and now YouTube by searching Love the Mouse Multimedia. We're at LOTM Multimedia on most of those platforms. We have a lot of cool content on all of those different things. Our Instagram is up and running with some awesome new graphics, so that was really fun. All of our new show graphics are live, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, lots of pictures from our past trip too.
Yeah, so lots of fun stuff coming on Instagram in particular. So this is going to be a very special and different episode for us because we had some help from some of our friends in the Disney community, from other podcasts and travel agencies and such. So we have a few messages from them that we'll kind of sprinkle in throughout our conversation. With that said, let's hear from our friend Keenan over at Part of Our World Podcast and Capture the Magic Vacations on how he can help you book your next Disney vacation.
Hi, this is Keenan, one half of Part of Our World Podcast and friend of and collaborator with Love of the Mouse. I'm here because I'd love to help you plan your next Disney vacation. whether that's through the tips and tricks I share on my show with my wife Rachel, or by being your authorized Disney travel planner through Capture the Magic Vacations, an earmarked travel agency. Whichever you may choose, or both, is completely at no cost to you. You can find all things related to our podcast and my travel agent services over at partofourworld.net.
If you're planning a trip anytime soon within the 50th anniversary celebrations, there's tons of new stuff coming to Disney World with the 50th anniversary, with the release and implementation of Genie Plus and all of the new paid FastPass, kind of FastPass Lightning Lane is what they're calling it now. Lots of changes coming. So I highly, highly, highly recommend using a travel agent if you are new to Disney World, even if you're not new. I feel like I might need a travel agent the next time we go.
Maybe just for some pointers.
Yeah. So again, if you're looking for help planning your next Disney trip, highly recommend getting in contact with Keenan, and you can find them on Twitter and on their website. So let's talk happily ever after.
Let's
try not to cry. I'm talking to myself about that.
I mean, it hits me in the feels too. Let's be honest. I feel like if you can watch Happily Ever After like dry eyed, then you're just like a psychopath.
Yeah, and it's been playing for 4 years at this point, but kind of.
So when did 3 years? Start?
It started on May 12th, 2017. So it was just after our first trip together was when it started, because the first time we went was still Wishes.
Yeah.
So it was about 2 months after we had gone, they started Happily Ever After. So it's kind of been like a part of our Disney journey a little bit.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of why it hits me a little bit differently with the connection of how it's kind of, I mean, hell, it's going to be engraved on our wedding rings. Happily Ever After is going to be like, that's a thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it is.
So yeah, it started just after our first trip together. So that's definitely something that has always had kind of an impact on me. But there's like this weird caveat to it as well, because of the COVID situation where it was at its 2 year run and then the parks were shut down and it didn't come back until July of 2021. So it was off for a little over a year. So in all actuality, it's only been running for 3 years, or I guess it was a 3 year
run. Was it a whole year that it was not? Yeah, playing?
Because yeah, they closed the parks in March of 2020, didn't reopen until July of 2020 or June
2021.
No, they reopened the Disney World.
Oh, but not the show.
But not fireworks. Fireworks didn't start back up until July of this year.
You would have thought I would have known that.
Yeah. So, we were definitely lucky enough to have our trip planned before fireworks were announced to even come back. We didn't know if they were going to be back.
That's true. That was kind of a happy surprise. And I think it was very fitting because we don't have any trips planned anytime soon.
No.
And it was very fitting that like we kind of like went in with Happily Ever After more or less, and then kind of that was our salute.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a send-off for us.
Yeah,
in a sense. I was definitely happy to be able to see it one last time in person.
Yeah, me too, for sure.
So I'm sure tonight if people are at Magic Kingdom, it's just gonna be like tears everywhere. Like,
yeah,
I can't imagine being there for last showing.
Yeah, if they know that that's the case.
Yeah, it's been a good ride for the show. I think the music in particular,
I mean, the music's a bop, like Happily Ever After, that whole it's just so good.
Yeah, and you've said in the past when we've been talking, and even on another podcast you mentioned it, in the only ever podcast appearance that you've made with me on,
I don't get invited anywhere else.
A previous episode of, actually no, you were on Kyler's show too.
Yeah, but what show are you talking about?
Disney Discussions, actually. We recorded a spot.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, they did a show about the best original songs for park attractions.
Yeah, and I've always said that. I've always enjoyed Happily Ever After.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's because you don't like old things. I don't know if it's
because... I mean, that certainly has something to do with it. I feel like, no, it's just... I feel like it's the same case where it, like, that was, has been such a, an important part of our trips.
Yeah.
So that was something that really stood out to me, and that it really makes me think of, like, our trips and our time at Disney, and it's just something that I, makes me, you know, think of all that stuff.
Yeah, and it's always fun whenever the original music is incorporated, and like you said, it's a great song.
Mm-hmm.
It's Jordan Fisher and Angie Kielhauer, that's who sings the current song, Happily Ever After. That plays intros and outros the show. Disney Enchantment will have its own song, which, again, we'll touch on that kind of later on in the show. But I'm skeptical a little bit just because of how much I love Happily Ever After.
Yeah, I mean, you don't like change. I mean, that's just how it is.
I think, though, with Disney, I'm more receptive to change just because it's almost inevitable.
Yeah, keep telling yourself that.
Yeah. But...
So, I mean... But to highlight some of the things from Happily Ever After, what were some of your favorite parts of the show?
That's actually a question I was going to ask you. So well, I'm glad you brought that up.
I came prepared.
It's really interesting to me how they kind of break the show up into different segments. Where you get the intro, you get this crazy awesome introduction with Ready to Begin, you know, the song... the voiceover, and then it goes into the dream section, and then journey, and then friendship and love, adversity and triumph. And it takes you through all of these different feelings throughout the show.
That's a lot of, those are a lot of adjectives.
Well, that's like the official, like, that's what their press release of sorts would say.
Yeah.
I
mean, it definitely is like a journey. Like, I feel like it's kind of like a roller coaster to watch too, because it does... Like, it pumps you up, and then it makes you, like, you have to cry. Like, tell me you don't cry.
Oh, no. You know? I mean, you know that I cry. You know that I
no,
cry.
No, and same. Like, it's, like, they do it so that it's, like, it's just very exciting, and then it's very emotional, and then it's, you know, very, it's just a very powerful show, I think.
And it's a very up and down show, where mm-hmm. they hit you with different emotions throughout right. the different segments.
And, I mean, I think it helps a lot to throw, and I've said this since the beginning, so for someone who isn't like a, like an avid Disney lover, I obviously love Disney, but not in ways that like Matt does.
Yeah.
But to have the characters that I know and love and that I grew up with being kind of the staple for the show, it kind of makes it a very well-rounded experience for everybody. So like whether you're super super into Disney or you just appreciate it or you're there for your kids, like it's something that you recognize and that you can appreciate watching.
Yes, absolutely. So I didn't answer your question directly. I didn't answer what my favorite part of the show
no,
is.
No, you just gave me a very
yeah.
test answer. Yeah, I would I did. Say Jeopardy answer maybe.
So I have a few, but I think my definitive favorite part is Out There from Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah, I could have guessed that.
That was the first part that truly, truly hit me the first time we saw it, just because of how much I love that movie and how underrepresented it mm-hmm. is and how underrated that character
well, and
music is.
Well, that's one of your favorite songs, too.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite songs.
So to have that incorporated was yeah. very powerful, I think.
Yeah, so I think... I'll say that for now, and then okay. I'll touch on my other thoughts in a little bit. What about you? What's your favorite part?
I would probably say when they start getting into, like, the heart, like, after the, I think it's after the, no, maybe it's before the villains, when they go into, like, Tarzan, like, You'll Be in My Heart,
yep,
like, that just,
the,
oh, that the, always hits me.
The love
that's
segment,
what always
yeah.
gets me. Oh my gosh. Yeah, as soon as it starts getting going into, like, those scenes and you hear some of that music, Tarzan was always one of my favorites, so that one stands out to me. But
yeah, I think after our past trip, I mean, I was very emotional, more so than I have been in the past.
Yeah,
for watching Happily Ever After, just with the implications and whatnot. But from the friendship segment through
Say that again?
From the friendship segment?
You're saying friendship weird.
Friendship?
You said friendship.
Okay. Sorry. I didn't think I said it weird, but whatever you say.
Listen to it back. You said friendship.
Okay. I'll do that. From that segment to the love segment where, you know, you're getting Genie with Friend Like Me, you're getting You've Got a Friend of Me from Toy Story, Hakuna Matata, Love is an Open Door from Frozen, like you said, You'll Be in My Heart.
Right.
Can You Feel the Love Tonight? Like all of those movies that I just absolutely love.
I mean, it's not just us.
Wrecked
it's,
me.
Yeah.
It just freaking wrecked me the last time.
Yeah. I mean, it. I feel like anyone who has any sort of love for Disney feels connected to this show in some way.
Yeah. And it's so funny because they represent so many different movies throughout Happily Ever After. And it still blows my mind that Beauty and the Beast was never represented except for like a stained glass painting. At the end, like, there's no clips, there's no music, nothing from Beauty and the Beast.
Well, and I think that's kind of an ode to, like, some of those more popular movies. They opted for, like, The Hunchback over some of the more staple Disney.
I mean, that's the only one that's a staple that's not represented in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, well,
like,
Quasimodo needs some spotlight. Oh,
I'm not disagreeing with you by any means. I think there are other ones that absolutely deserve even more representation that they've gotten. But just being how popular that movie is, it's just kind of surprising to me, even to this day, that there's very, very minimal limit or very minimal.
Well, and maybe that's something that they'll expand on in
Disney Enchantment.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think from what I've seen, they're going to be doing a lot of intermingling of newer and classic with the new show.
Well, I think that's fun too because that gets into different generations, because a lot of the kids who are going to Disney now, like, who they know is, like, I mean, I know Moana was represented in everything,
I wanted to bring that up because definitively, like, every time the Moana section comes up, that's when you get the loudest cheers.
It's just a generational thing, I think, because that's the kids don't like old things, Matthew.
but Frozen is represented.
Right.
But even Moana is more of like the crowd pleaser than Frozen in this show, I'd say.
Because people just get
so pumped whenever the Moana section comes on.
I like Moana better than Frozen too.
I think it's one of the best movies that they've done.
I'm not that like
a very
weirded
long time.
Out. Yeah. But I definitely think it's going to be a generational thing, so that like the people, like the adults and the people who, the parents,
yeah,
can have a certain appreciation in their kids too.
Yeah, so like, absolutely.
For the kids who, like, I don't think I've, this might get me a lot of hate, but I still don't think I've ever made it through Snow White the whole way. And it's old, and I don't want to. So that's, you know, I connect way more to Moana than I do to Snow White. That's just how it is.
And I can understand that. I really can.
Yeah.
I mean,
he rolled his eyes. You didn't see that.
I did roll my eyes. Yeah. But I can understand it where if you're not super into the movies and the history, like I am and like a lot of people are, that stuff's not as appealing.
Yeah.
Like,
I
just
mean, that's the whole allure of Disney, is you find stuff that you connect to, whether you're, like, Pixar has been making people cry since Pixar started making movies, you know, like adults,
1995,
kids.
Yeah.
I wasn't looking for a date, but thank you.
Toy Story. Yeah. 95.
I don't know. It's just, it's a matter of what you connect to. You know, you don't have to be winning trivia at Disney to appreciate Disney.
Yeah.
Matt. 1995.
that's very true.
We're not the only ones who Disney and the show and everything has had an impact on, and you reached out to some of your fellow podcasters to share some, I mean, like, what this show has meant to them, too. So it can't just be all about us.
Yeah, that's true. So let's hear from Kyler, who we've been on his show.
Yes.
I've been on his show a few times.
Yeah, Kyler's great. It was a great time. Matt sucks. That was the summary.
Yeah, that's really what him and Tori wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I was, what did he call me? Like, the I was the special guest.
Something like that.
That was really nice.
I've kind of blocked that episode out of my memory.
I was the special guest. Matt was the guest.
Yeah. But let's hear from Kyler from the Disney Theme Park Show the Second about Happily Ever After.
Hey everyone, this is Kyler Pope from the Disney Theme Park Show the Second. And I may not live next to Walt Disney World, but I can definitely tell you I've watched Happily Ever After on YouTube. It looks just amazing, first of all. I like how they integrate a bunch of the forgotten old Disney movies. And yeah, that's basically my take on Happily Ever After.
So thank you for that, Kyler. Thank you for sending that over, and appreciate you recording that for us. And if you want to listen to some more Disney content, if you want to hear us on the show, go over and find the Disney Theme Park Show the Second on any of your streaming apps and give them a like, comment, subscribe, all of those things that you do for different podcasts to help the show grow.
Thanks, Kyler.
Yep. So let's get back to us a little bit.
Talk about us a lot.
Yeah, we do. It's honestly difficult for me to kind of formulate the words for this episode where I feel like I have so much to say, but I don't know what to say because I'm just kind of sad that it's going
to
be leaving.
I mean, it's okay to be sad. Like we said before, it's just, it's because it really did have a lot of meaning, you know, to us and our trips in particular. Yeah. And you are very resistant to change.
I'm not, though.
I think that's what it is, because the idea that we might not be able to see the new show and...
Well, yeah, I guess you're right about that.
I mean, but what are you excited for the new show? What's something to look forward to?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, anything new at Disney is always exciting, which is not what you're going to hear from a lot of people in the Disney community. Because if you think I don't like change, you've never seen people on Disney Twitter. Like, yeah. It's a madhouse. Like, they take away a freaking napkin and people get pissed off. Like, I'm not even joking. Like,
yeah, no.
People freak out over the dumbest stuff. But, like, this is a big deal. This is something that has touched so many people on a multitude of levels.
So how long did Wishes run for?
Wishes ran for 17-ish years.
Oh my god.
Yeah. I think it started in 2000. It might have even been before 2000 that it started. But it ran up until Happily Ever Afters.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and I know Illuminations at Epcot, Illuminations Reflections of Earth, the show that we saw, Illuminations Reflections of Earth. I know I said that fast. I know you didn't process it.
I just feel like I'm like listening to you in slow motion tonight, I think. That's crazy to me. 17 years.
Yeah, and Illuminations ran for, I think, 20.
Then why the hell are they changing stuff?
Well, that's why people are confused, because it's only been such a short amount of time.
I'm being sarcastic, because honestly, I get it. Like, I think there's a lot of newer movies that are more important to...
Keep going with your thought.
I don't like your face right now. the absolute stink eye that I was just given. But no, I really do think there's a lot more important messages in some of the recent movies. Like, even like Luca. You know, Luca is one of those smaller movies that, like, very new. Like, one of the newest.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of those movies that have more of a message of, like, acceptance and friendship and that kind of stuff is more the direction, I would say, that is being pushed and needs to be represented. And it's something that, like, people recognize more. Like what we were saying earlier, how Moana is more celebrated than, like, Snow White.
Yeah, I mean, it's the empowerment aspect, for sure.
Right. Well, and it's just, like, the kids, you know? Like, I feel like kids are more inclined to watch the newer stuff, the newer animations.
Well, yeah. I mean, the colors, the style, I think, is just...
Yeah, so I can definitely understand the importance of changing to, like, reach that audience.
Yeah, I can agree with that, but...
Explain your stink eye.
Well, my stink eye is we're celebrating 50 years of the Disney parks. And celebrating 50 years of the Disney parks, to me, doesn't mean, okay, let's use all of these characters that aren't represented in the parks.
Well, and honestly, how are we to know what they're going to do with the new
that's,
show?
That's true. That's like, very, very true.
Here I am saying, like, oh, Luca's important. But, like, we have no clue who the heck they're going to feature or what they're... Like, we got a snippet of, like, the sound
right.
of
the show. We listened to the new song, You Are the Magic.
But
that's about it.
And it's not like that covers the whole 15 minutes of a new show.
Right. Which, you're right about that.
So, I'll definitely be curious to see, like, what direction that they move with it. If I had to bet, I would think that they're trying to incorporate some of those newer staple characters and maybe, like you said, like, intermingle them with some of the classics to kind of, yeah. like,
Breach the gap.
Broach the gap. To kind of breach the gap,
yeah.
you know, generationally.
Yeah, and I think you're right in a sense there, but it just doesn't make sense to me personally. Where yeah. I'd love for them, like, obviously I want them to incorporate the IPs and the characters and the movies that they've, you know, that people associate Disney with.
Right.
But also, when this is a celebration of literally the parks, like, celebrate the history of the parks, incorporate, like, Pirates of the Caribbean and Figment and Orangeburg and like Walt Disney himself and these different kind of other.
What's the theme from Pirates of the Caribbean? That wasn't Happily Ever After.
Da, well,
da, 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 da. That's
okay,
in it.
Okay. I was like, well, that does not
I sound... started on a weird note.
you did.
That's my theme song though.
Yes, but that isn't Happily Ever After. You're right, but I was talking yeah. more of like the attraction, like Pirate's Life, like that.
Please continue. Let's just make this a you whole know. Musical. But like, what does Orange Bird, besides being the cutest thing on the planet, what does Orange Bird have to offer to the show? Nothing.
Well, just the representation of like, this is celebrating the 50th anniversary of the park, and this is a character who is literally made as an original character to the park.
So now, do you think they decided to move on with the Disney Enchantment because it's the 50th anniversary?
Well, I think it draws more people in.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always about making money for them.
Well, I think we've spent a lot of time talking about the new show and not enough about focusing on a send-off for Happily okay. Ever After. So
I think you're right.
I think maybe we need to hear a few other words from some of your friends in yes. the podcast.
That sounds like a great
community.
Idea. That sounds like a great
before
idea.
We divulge further.
Yes. So let's hear from Matthew Graykin from the Disney Marvels podcast and his thoughts on the final showing of Happily Ever After.
Hi, Matt. This is Matthew Graykin from the Disney Marvels podcast. Happily Ever After. I got to see it a few days after it debuted 4 years ago, and I just saw it again this year, and it still hits me emotionally, visually. It is a show for all the senses. It holds up well, and I still say it's going before its time. To me, it is a spectacular show, one of the best nighttime spectaculars Disney has put out there. The visual cues are amazing. The musical cues hit you just right. You get to see the castle destroyed at one point, and it literally looks like it's on fire in front of you, and that the everything is crumbling. And then you get that magical part wherever you get the hope, and everything starts repairing itself, and the cues from Hercules at that point, and the different shows and the movies. Oh, it's just spectacular. And I am looking forward to Enchanted. I think that's going to be a good show too. It's got some big shoes to fill. it's got some big shoes to fill from Happily Ever After. I mean, the score itself is just spectacular. I listen to it often, either just the duet version of Happily Ever After or the entire show. I can't get enough of Happily Ever After. My one son keeps asking to watch the Disney show where the castle gets destroyed. And I you know, happily put it on, and you get to watch it nowadays online, which is good, but it's not the same as being there and being in the crowd and just everyone getting taken back. I was just down there, and some friends of ours got to see it for the first time, and they were blown away by what a fireworks show could be. You know, everyone knows, the Macy's Firework Day, the Capitol 4th, the just a normal fireworks show. And this takes it to not even the next level. It's a whole nother level unto itself that I think most people could not imagine or fathom of what a firework presentation can be, between the fireworks, digital mapping, the music, which was written with the fireworks in mind. It's just absolutely spectacular. I can wax poetically about this show for probably days. And I am truly going to miss it. I said, I have big expectations for what's coming. Disney usually does not let me down. At least I've recorded it. I've recorded for prosperity, so I can always remember it. Which I can't say for Fantasy in the Sky and some of the ones that came before it. But this is, this was a show for the ages. And I think we're losing it too soon. But it only means bigger and better is coming. So that is what Happily Ever After means to me.
So thank you again to Matthew for that recording. And you can find his show on iTunes and Spotify and all the other streaming apps, just like all of our other podcasts and any podcast that you're going to find. You can find them anywhere. Again, like, subscribe, give them a rating, review, help them grow. Same thing that we say for us, same thing we say for any other podcast that comes on here, we collaborate with, you know the spiel. So I guess this is kind of the final thoughts, final words for Happily Ever After at this point.
I mean, I think we've said a lot of what the show has meant to us. It really has been kind of the start and end of our trip, which I think is why it is so special. And I have a lot of really good memories from our trip of standing feet aching in front of the castle, trying to like punch balloons out of the way, watching, like peering behind small children on people's phones, shoulders,
iPads.
Oh God. No, I'm getting angry. Yeah, no, it really has been such a special part of our trips and our Disney experience. And I'm sure that the new show is going to be great. And I'm happy that we got to experience Happily Ever After as much as we did.
So this isn't something that I've mentioned. I don't know if I've even mentioned this on the show. I'd have to listen back to a lot of the episodes. But I think one of the biggest things that jumps out to me about Happily Ever After is it was really the like selling point on two trips in particular, where we went with my brother and Mariah, and when we went with my parents. And it's not like my brother's not a big Disney fan. Like Mariah's pretty big into Disney. Like she appreciates it, likes the movies and such. But I remember Mark saying after the fireworks, like, that was freaking incredible. Like, that was just so amazing. And when we went with my parents, it was the same thing. Like, I know my mom was in tears, which doesn't, you know, that's not a surprise. But, like, just hearing and seeing how amazed everyone was at the show and just like the happiness that it brought to them and mm-hmm. seeing that, like me seeing that whenever they aren't the biggest Disney fans right. and stuff. Like it's just amazing to look back on and being like, that's literally like the perfect ending to a trip and just yeah. like the perfect.
I mean, I feel like that's the summary that we've been talking about is like just the experience that we've had with the show and who we've gotten to share it with and yeah. to share it with each other. And I think like building those experiences and having those memories is what makes it so special.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I don't think that we are going to say anything better than that. So
roll credits.
So, I mean, do you have any additional thoughts?
Final feelings? You know, it's all about what you make of it. So I think it's important to be optimistic for whatever Disney's building for the future and the new shows and expanding for the parks and all, and you know, all that stuff. So you're going to go and you're going to experience new things and make new memories. And it's going to be a part of the same thing that, you know, Happily Ever After was. It's just building on what was already there.
Yeah. And I'm, like you said, I'm looking forward to seeing what's next,
mm-hmm.
but the nostalgia.
You said nostalgia weird.
I know I did.
You're like, you gotta listen
right
for
now.
Something.
I'm tripping up on my words. Like I can't help it right now.
Yeah.
You're
just too emotional.
I am. I am a little bit emotional. Like it's stupid, but I am.
I'm not normally this mean. I don't usually call him out on his.
This is like it's weird. I know this is just a podcast, but like just talking about it and like thinking like, oh man, this kind of sucks. It's leaving.
Yeah. I mean, it's very, you know, it's sad. It's very yeah. evident that it's had a very good impact, you know, on yeah. at least us and our experiences.
Like, I've never, like, I love Disney, and they changed so much stuff in the past couple of years since we started going on a regular basis, but, mm-hmm. like, this is the one thing that's hit me a lot harder than anything else. So, yeah. I guess,
I mean,
that'll do it on Happily Ever After.
Yeah.
So.
It's a great show.
Yeah. Great show. Lots of memories. Excited to see what's coming next. So with that said, if you don't do so already, follow us on our official social media accounts, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Love of the Mouse Multimedia. Or at LOTM Multimedia. You can also connect with us on our website, loveofthemousepodcast.com. While you're there, you can submit a consultation for design services. You can find all of our previous podcast episodes, different blog posts that we've written, and you can find our interview with Brett Iwin, the official voice of Mickey Mouse. Such an awesome conversation. We have both the video and the podcast on our website and our social media channels, so you can find it pretty much anywhere that we are associated with. On the web.
Yeah, so stop being sad and go listen to Brett Iwin.
Yeah.
This has been Love of the Mouse podcast.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Love of the Mouse podcast. Until you hear us again, thank you and good night.
And so our journey comes to an end, but yours continues on. Grab hold of your dreams and make them come true. For you are the key to unlocking your own magic. Now go, let your dreams guide you. Reach out and find your happily ever after.
The battles, the stories, the losses and all the glory.
We're changed by the way we live every day. Just look up and reach to the sky.
We all have the courage to fly.